Hello, everyone, and welcome to No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, on 102.3 FM Penguin Radio, the only radio station of Dominican University of California, coming live from San Rafael. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future because we have nowhere else to go. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about light pollution and the harm on the environment and what scientists are doing and how individuals, we can make a difference. So basically what light pollution is an excess of artificial light, which leads to light pollution. And light pollution has a very damaging effect on not only the environment in general, but it has a very damaging effect on wildlife, the climate, and actually on us as humans. So light pollution is basically a direct result of humans over time increasing the use of artificial light in our daily lives, which includes the use of interior lighting in our homes, but it also actually includes the use of street lighting, lighting for stadiums, for arenas, anything that you can really imagine that produces a lot of lights, even advertising, marketing, anything that you see that brights up really, really bright and produces a light effect, that's gonna really add to our light pollution. And it's pretty much increased while the world's population has gotten larger. A lot of companies, you know, they want to advertise. A lot of places want to hold larger amount of crowds at times when the sun may not be active in order to light up stadiums or arenas, like I said. They'll use artificial light in order to create an environment where, of course, us humans can see. So, like I said, the light pollution really mainly comes from sources such as like streetlights, our interior home lights, sports fields, offices, factories, street properties, advertising, all those kind of things are really going to lead to light pollution. And although we can't really see it with the naked eye, it's very much shown in studies that this light pollution has a very awful effect on our environment and, of course, ourselves. So there's a couple types of different light pollution that are categorized, and those are glare, sky glow, light trespass, clutter, and then satellites. So glare is an excessive brightness that causes visual discomfort. So probably an advertisement that you might see that's super bright, super in your face when you're driving on the highway and you see this big sign lit up for whatever the case may be, that's going to be a glare. Sky glow is brightening of the night sky over inhabited areas. And light trespass is light falling where it's not intended or needed. So those are going to be like street lights that are not even really doing a correct job of lighting up the area. They're just kind of like lighting up the ground beneath it and not really even providing any useful light. They're just there for aesthetic or whatever the case may be, because like maybe they'll make an effect, but probably not. Clutter is bright, confusing, and excessive groupings of light sources. So anytime you see like a downtown area being lit up by a bunch of streetlights, it's not really necessary. There could be a lot of light happening with just one lamp, but instead like I said before, for aesthetically pleasing circumstances, they're going to light up a bunch of lights that aren't really going to provide what they are looking to provide. They're just going to make it look cool and good for the aesthetic purposes. Lastly, satellites have been shown recently to produce a lot of light pollution in our atmosphere, and those studies were actually done by NASA themselves, looking at their own satellites and showing that although they're doing a lot of good things to evaluate our environment, they're also providing a lot of light pollution. The cool thing about light pollution is that unlike other sources of pollution, such as water and air pollution, light pollution is actually totally reversible, and we can really turn it around by just lessening the amount of artificial light that we use. So throughout this whole show, I'm going to be talking about the harm and impact of light pollution, how us as individuals can really reduce our use of artificial light in our daily lives, and just the reality that there are a lot of scientists, a lot of organizations that are working towards reducing this harm on the environment of light pollution. Like I said before, I know it seems really small, but I'm sure the last time you went outside to look at the moon or to look at the stars at night, it's very hard to see, especially in places such as like San Francisco, LA, big cities, which you would want to see a lot of stars at. You don't really see those because they're covered by a mass of just light pollution. It's literally like a cloud is covering the sky. And in reality, it's just tiny particles of light pollution that kind of create a covering of the sky that leads to not being able to see any type of natural stars, natural lighting, the moon lighting, all those kind of things are disappeared because of light pollution, artificial light. So in the next segment, I'm going to be talking about the reality of the impact on the environment of light pollution and how we can think every day about how we use lights and how companies can reduce their use of artificial light. So once again, this is No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, on 102.3 Penguin Radio. Or you can go to radio.dominican.edu, the official radio site of Dominican University of California. Hello, and welcome back to the second segment of this week's episode on light pollution. You are listening to No Planet B on 102.3 FM or at radio.dominican.edu. This is Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. And this is a show where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future because we have nowhere else to go. In the previous segment, I touched on what light pollution is and how an excess use of artificial light has grown to be a major problem in our environment. And in this segment, I'm going to be talking about the details of the harm and impact that artificial light pollution has had on our environment and on ourselves as humans. So, to start off, light pollution is really a global concern. It's nothing that is really more prominent in one place or the other. The truth is that everywhere in the world suffers from light pollution. Even the most rural areas with not a lot of artificial light use, they still suffer from light pollution being done from the nearest city to them, or the interior lighting of their homes, even street lights. The smallest artificial light use can really make a big difference in how clear the dark night sky is, and it's not really a good thing. So, majority of our countries have taken on artificial light as their main source of lighting up certain areas or their homes instead of natural light and candlelight. So back before the invention of the light bulb, all those simple things, humans relied on the natural light from sunlight to get their daily activities done. And that's really just all that it was. Humans used the daylight to get things done, to do their farming, to do everything that was necessary for their human survival. And at night, we'd just use other sources of light from fires, natural light, even the beginning of candles. But the reality is that once the light bulb was invented, once lighting became a huge component to our society, a lot of pollution started to be done on the environment. And it's kind of a weird concept, because when we talk about pollution, we usually turn to very obvious things such as water pollution, pollution in our sewage systems, and then pollution in our air from chemicals and harmful toxins. So we don't always think about light pollution and how if we look up at the sky in the country versus if we look up in the sky in a city such as San Francisco, it's going to be very different. And that's because artificial light literally puts a covering on the night sky to where stars and even sometimes the moon isn't even visible. That's really because artificial light disrupts the natural balance of light and darkness from the sun, moon, and stars that were previously there before humans. It was a lot brighter in the sky because of the moon and stars than it is now. And that's just reality. The spread of this artificial lighting means most of us no longer experience truly dark nights. And research done by the International Dark Sky Association suggests that artificial light at night can negatively affect human health, increasing risk for obesity, depression, sleep disorders, diabetes, breast cancer, and more. Which, that was really shocking to me. I was surprised at how artificial light can do so much damage. Even though it makes sense, it's kind of shocking how we can produce so much harm by just using lighting. Also, a recent study by a French agency of health and safety concluded that the blue light from our laptops, our phones, causes a photochemical risk to eye and harmful effects to the retina. As the source of LED is concentrated towards a point source, the luminance level of each individual LED can be around 1,000 times more than the comfort level. So when we look at these LED lights, these blue lights, it can put a really big damage on our eyes because humans haven't gotten the chance to adapt to it yet. And of course, we know in our society now, we use a lot of blue light and a lot of people have eye issues. And the only way to really solve that is to reduce our use of blue light and to be really cautious about how we're spending our time on our phones and laptops and TVs. So that is a pretty small explanation of what artificial light does to humans. And if I had more time, I would definitely speak on it a lot more. But on the environment, light pollution wastes a whole bunch of energy and money, and it creates less of the dark sky, the true dark sky that we really need and our environment needs. And also, it's weird because our artificial light use is kind of confusing. A lot of the street lighting we see now is really ineffective and basically just a huge waste of our money and resources, our energy, because they don't really even give off the proper lighting for what they're aimed to do. If you look at a street lamp, it usually just lights up like a bottom circle instead of lighting up the whole area. A lot of it's done for aesthetic purposes and not really for effective use. Also, many people, especially in the United States, keep their lights on without a second thought because a lot of people kind of have the money to spend here. And having that much unnecessary amount of lights on in their homes at one time really disrupts the natural state of light in our environment. Quoted from, again, the International Dark Sky Association, in an average year in the U.S. alone, outdoor lighting uses about 120 terawatt hours of energy, mostly to illuminate streets and parking lots. That's enough energy to meet New York City's total electricity needs for 2 years. That's pretty insane to think about, because obviously we know, I've never even been to New York, and I still know that all of their advertising lighting, everything that they light up, is insane. It must be a huge electric bill, just the state of New York alone. So for the average year in the U.S., for only outdoor lighting to power 2 years of New York City's total electricity, that's pretty mind-blowing. And a lot of this artificial light use, like I said, is very pointless. It's very ineffective, and it's kind of there for only aesthetic purposes. Oh, it's a lot to take in, but the good news is that light pollution is actually a type of pollution that is completely reversible. And that's something that is really, really cool, because companies are doing what they can to switch their use of artificial light to light from solar energy and other energy sources that are more natural. It's a lot that can be done to actually reverse these damaging effects on our environment, because I don't know about you guys, whoever's listening, I absolutely love the stars, and when I go camping and it's a less lit up area than normal, I will just stare at the stars for hours. I absolutely love the night sky, the moon, and I think if we can slowly get back to maybe similar to how it was before humans kind of exploded this use of artificial light, I think that would be really cool and really helpful for everyone's mental health and just pretty views in the world. So in the next section, I'm going to be talking more about what companies and people are doing to combat light pollution and what we can do as individuals to reduce our use of artificial light in our everyday lives. So once again, you are listening to No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green. You can tune in on radio.dominican.edu. And this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making, because we have nowhere else. Hi, and welcome back to No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and you are listening at radio.dominican.edu or on 102.3 FM, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. This is Penguin Radio, and my show is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making, because we have nowhere else to go. In my previous segment, I talked about the reality that is light pollution, and specifically its harm and impact on us as individuals, and as well as the impact it has on the environment. And what kind of is being done to help it, but right now I will be touching more on what's actually being done to fight this light pollution. And I just want to start by saying that although light pollution doesn't seem like a big deal, once again, it is something that adds up very quickly. Although it can be completely reversed, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't start reversing it. It means that the damaging effects do not last, but they need to go away in order to see our beautiful stars again that the way that they're meant to be seen. So there are a lot of environmental groups, scientists, and civil leaders that are making action and efforts towards fighting artificial light pollution ever since it became an increasing issue in the United States and globally. And of course, that includes a lot of homeowners are switching to different types of solutions that will help fight light pollution. There are little things we can do in our homes every single day that will really make a difference for light pollution. So as individuals, the way to combat it is to install lights that are maybe motion censored or time controlled. And that goes along with cities and civil leaders. They are also looking into alternative light sources for the street lights, like being on timers or being motion sensed. There are also colored lights that can be used as options that they still serve the purpose of lighting pretty well, but they don't have the glare that the big lights tend to have. And of course, just reducing our use of light in general, just turning off our lights when we leave a room, all those kind of things make a huge difference. And that includes office buildings, offices, anything that has lights, you can turn off the lights. Lights don't need to be on at all times. It's pretty draining for energy and money use. Also, it's very important to have preventative measures in our society, and that could be just the use of like glare-free bulbs, which don't have any artificial glare to them, and even energy-saving lights, they won't produce as much light at the beginning, at the end of their use, so that always does a little bit of something. Lights facing downwards help, so it's not projecting into the sky as much. And then just having covering over the bulbs to reduce the amount of glare being done. It really, those kind of things all help, and those are all situations that leaders should be looking at in order to reduce their use of artificial light pollution locally. There are also certain companies that are making efforts to fight off energy pollution and light pollution in general. For example, there is a company called Ohm Connect, and they are specifically based in California. They only work with Californians right now, and what they do is they provide points, money, and prizes during specific Ohm energy hours that the company sets. And those Ohm energy hours are basically where they set a goal. If you use only 20% of energy during this hour, and they see a specific reduction in your energy use per house, they will give you points and you'll be entered to win a prize. It's actually a really cool system. I am a part of it myself. I love the Ohm energy hours. I feel like I'm doing something really good for the environment. And you can sign up at Ohm Connect. There are options to buy certain energy saving resources too. So just by saving energy, obviously you're going to be turning off those lights, and that's going to reduce the amount of artificial light pollution. And so the amount of people I know a couple of my friends are already involved in Ohm Connect, and That's just really cool because even though it's just one state, there is a lot of potential for the reduction of artificial light pollution through these companies that are working so hard every day on making sure Americans know that they have an impact on the earth, even though some people think that they might not. Maybe they don't think they're important enough, but we all are. All of our actions add up into a collective. And that's really what's come over the years, is a lot of light pollution because a lot of people leave on their lights, or a lot of organizations and office buildings, parking lots, government agencies, they just install these lights that aren't doing that big of a deal. And so, yeah, the truth is that a lot of those same organizations and companies are looking at their old kind of lighting that they no longer agree with and switching to modern use of lighting. Lighting that is, like I said before, time-based or motion-censored, or even they are anti-glare, they're energy-saving. So that's what it really comes down to, is everyone making little choices to better our overall light pollution problem. And there are different inventions being done to combat this issue. A lot of people think that we need to shy away from lighthouses, even though they are really important for navigation purposes, for boats, cruises, and just general shipping, ships in the ocean. They actually cause a lot of light pollution in our sea life, and that directly affects the habitat of a lot of marine life. And of course, it also impacts the natural dark sky that we're supposed to have every night. So scientists are currently being urged to research a new environmentally friendly alternative that can be used for navigation purposes. And of course, I have a lot of faith in our scientists. They do a lot of good for our environment. And I know many people are switching to that mindset of being environmentally conscious and realizing that we only have one planet. If we can't change for the better, we're not going to be here that much longer, relatively speaking. So in the next section, I'm going to be talking about kind of what the future looks like, more on how we can help as individuals, just little things that we can do every single day to better our environment and reduce our use of artificial light in our everyday lives. So once again, it's nothing to feel bad about. It's just a collective problem we have to deal with, but humans are very good problem solvers. And I have faith that this issue will be solved and completely reversed, hopefully in my lifetime. Once again, you are listening to No Planet B. This is your host, DJ Green, and you can tune in on radio.dominican.edu. That is Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. And this is a show where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future and planet for ourselves and future generations, because we have nowhere else to go. Okay, welcome back everyone to the final segment of this week's episode. This week's episode is on light pollution, and I am your host, DJ Green. You are listening to No Planet B here on radio.dominican.edu, or you're tuning in from 102.3 FM, Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. This is a show where I talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future, because we have nowhere else to go. Throughout this whole episode, I've talked and touched on a good amount of details about light pollution, what the reality of light pollution is, and how it is a type of pollution that can be reversed. The only thing is we must make changes to reverse it. So that's good news, is that we really do have the means to make changes every single day in our lives. And scientists are now coming up with new ways and new inventions that will create a lot of positivity in our future and hopefully reduce the amount of artificial light pollution that we do see. So I did talk about a fact in a previous segment about how the yearly use of outdoor lighting in America can power up to 2 years worth of total electricity for New York City in its entirety. So I just wanted to bring that up again because the amount of outdoor lighting that is used in America, this is just outdoor lighting, can power 2 years worth of New York City. To me, that is absolutely insane. And I think it's pretty unnecessary. So I think what the future looks like is a lot of that reduction of outside light and putting it into a way that's going to be more effective and actually do what it's there to do. I believe right now a lot of outside light is used for aesthetically pleasing reasons, maybe to make a building look better, to make a parking lot not necessarily look better, but to be able to, of course, see in. But a lot of the time you drive through these parking lots or these streets and it's only the area underneath the light that's actually being lit up. If we really think about that, that's not very useful. And you're always going to have those really dark spots in a parking lot because the lighting isn't very effective. It's not really doing its job. So since light pollution is completely reversible, it's able to be treated pretty quickly. So I also believe that in the future, a lot of scientists are going to be pushing companies to switch from the use of artificial lighting into alternate lighting purposes that are better for the environment and just better for themselves too, because it'll save them money and time and just energy in general. So that, of course, depends on scientists to create new inventions, to create smarter, more efficient lighting sources. And we can really only wait until they do that. And then organizations and companies will get on board with that. So hopefully that's in our near future. I think it is. And throughout my research on this topic, I have found that there aren't really certain inventions yet being done, but a lot is being thought about, a lot is in the works, and of course we have lighting that can be done through solar energy and other natural energy sources that are way better than artificial light use. So that really leaves us talking and ending this episode with what us as individuals can do to reduce our own use of artificial light in our homes and in our everyday lives. So something that I have in my bathroom, I have a light switch that is able to turn off by itself automatically, motion sensored and timed. It'll turn off if I forget to turn it off, which I think is really cool. I hope that in the future most homes have these features, because it not only saves me money, but it saves the amount of light that I use if I forget to turn that light off after going into my bathroom. So those kind of little details are definitely changes we can make in our homes, along with purchasing glare-free light bulbs or energy-saving light bulbs so that there is a reduction in the amount of artificial light being produced. So, of course, that comes with only using your lights when kind of necessary, absolutely necessary. And I know that this sounds kind of weird, but a lot of people just leave on their lights for no reason at all. They're just maybe a comfort thing. I don't really know. But to be able to turn off those lights and make that a habit is something that can really suit our environment well. And definitely something that every individual should do. And that'll just help save us money and save us energy. There's also the fact of just properly shielding all outdoor light usage. So in the future, like I said before, hopefully that is included into the new modern day lighting, a lot of shielding so the glare is reduced, therefore not having as much light pollution being brought into our natural dark sky. Because I think there's nothing cooler than being able to look up at the stars. I've already said this before, but that would be so neat to just walk outside my apartment and see a bunch of stars. I would love that. So I think that there are high hopes for the future in reducing artificial light pollution, like I said, because it is completely reversible, unlike other types of pollution, water pollution, pollution in our sewage, and then air pollution. Those are really hard problems to fight, but light pollution is almost like the saving grace. It's something that we can just get done and make ourselves feel really good about. So also, it's good to keep blinds drawn in your home whenever you can to keep artificial light inside. And if you do want your blinds drawn, to just let your natural light of the sun in your home do that job for itself. You don't need to have lights on and have the blinds drawn. I mean, it's kind of counterintuitive if you think about it. Of course, that doesn't come with the reality of some people don't have a lot of natural light. So if you don't, just use the artificial lighting, get your sunlight through going outside for a walk. There's a bunch of things that you can do otherwise to not use a bunch of artificial light and having your blinds drawn. So that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. I hope that you learned some good hacks on how to basically save your energy, save your time, save your money, and do better for our environment. I know a lot of it has to do with organizations and scientists figuring out the problem, but of course, I will repeat it until the day I die. Individuals have a huge impact on the environment, even though we think sometimes we don't, and how can what I do make such a big difference? It does. If we all make a decision to better our environment, it adds up 1,000%. It comes back around, and the same thing for the opposite. If we don't do what is good for the environment, it will not turn out well for us or our anything around us. It won't turn out good for our environment, our animal species, anything. So I hope you have a great rest of your day and turn off any lights that you're not using right now. Once again, this is No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and you are listening on 102.3 FM or at radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio, the only radio station of Dominican University of California. And this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future, because we have nowhere else to go.